Welcome to Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Martha Poulter to the broadcast. Martha is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Starwood Hotels and Resorts Worldwide, the $6 billion hospitality company based in Stamford, Connecticut. As such, she leads a global IT team integrated across Starwood's 9 brands and operational platforms. She's also a member of Starwood's leadership team. Prior to Starwood, Martha served as Vice President and Chief Information Officer of GE Capital with global responsibility for IT strategy and operations and led a 4,000-person global organization. A 25-year technology veteran, Martha held a series of senior IT leadership positions at GE, such as e-business Vice President, Quality Leader, and Regional Americas Chief Information Officer for GE Capital. Martha has an MBA from the University of New Haven and received her bachelor's degree in computer science and engineering in the University of Connecticut. I recently caught up with Martha by phone in her office in Stamford, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed Martha's methods to attract and develop IT talent, Principle 3, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed the importance of cross-functional teams and the means of fostering innovation, Principle 5, external partnerships, as we discussed the many ways Starwood seeks to create an ecosystem of services for its guests, creatively leveraging external partners, as well as a variety of other topics.
This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Martha Poulter, welcome to the Forum on World Class IT.
Thanks, Peter. Good to be with you.
Wonderful. So, Martha, I thought we'd begin with your role. You are the CIO of Starwood. Can you talk a little bit about your role and your vision for the IT organization at Starwood here in the relatively early tenure of your time with the organization?
Absolutely. You know, as a business, we have a really big agenda that focuses on our guests and customers and figuring out how to marry the elements of our core business, which is obviously very service-oriented, very high-touch, with the high-tech capabilities that we can bring to bear on that service model. And so you'll see that we've, over the course of the last several years, had an opportunity to marry those things, and I'm sure we can get into specific examples as we go along. I'll call out one that's been talked about maybe most recently, which is our Keyless initiative, which has taken a very age-old and, again, high-touch, maybe analog process from our guests and converted it into a very digital process that allows guests to bypass the front desk and go directly to their assigned room. So we're very excited about that kind of marriage of high-touch and high-tech.
I love that example, and it certainly has justifiably gotten a lot of press. I think it speaks to a rethinking of the customer experience and thinking about what is, especially your most valuable customers, what is most critical to them to make their experience staying with a Starwood property, making that as enjoyable an experience as possible. Can you talk a little bit about the way in which you and your team get involved in thinking about topics like customer experience, generally speaking?
Absolutely. You know, we think about all aspects of the experience, and I would divide it into pre-stay, during the stay, and then following, post-stay. So we're involved in all aspects of that. I think our evolution, if we start thinking about pre-stay, has been to be very aggressive with our web channels and our mobile channels and we have a number of firsts in that space in terms of our ability to really address the way that our guests and customers want to work with us. We're just at that tipping point where we see our mobile visits surpassing our web-based visits. And so it really speaks to us loudly that it is a critical method that our customers want to engage with us. And so we've spent a lot of time working on that so that we can offer them the booking opportunities and all those pre-stay kinds of information that they require. And then when we move to on-stay, you know, it's a series of things that we're worried about working on there in terms of the experience. And that experience deals a lot with the associate and how the associate can engage with the guest as they come on property. And so we're working to equip our associates with tools and capabilities that give them the right guest intelligence, arm them with the information to make that visit more enjoyable, and make sure that they have the relevant and candidly the actionable information so that we can get them the customized experience that we think is so important to our mission and our business. And then following stay, it's a lot about understanding the behavior of the stay pattern and what might be most relevant afterwards for the next visit. So if we understand that you're a frequent business traveler, how and what mechanisms might be best for us to engage with you. If you are on vacation and a family-oriented traveler, how do we engage with you and offer you the best promotions, as an example, for your next stay with us. So we really are thinking about all aspects end-to-end, and you touch on something that's very, very important to our thinking.
You know, it's interesting. I think about your own background. You're obviously new to the hospitality space as an executive. You are presumably not new to the hospitality space as a customer. And relative to your past, for instance, at GE Capital, where the business itself is not necessarily accessible to employees, certainly employees in IT, in the same way that a hospitality company's offering is. I wonder how your experiences as a frequent traveler and now having a team that presumably travels as well and so has the opportunity to be both customer and employee colors your own kind of experience and insights that you bring to developing your own plans.
It's so true. It's fascinating to me. And I've done probably a half dozen, let's call them seat ride visits, where I play the role of not just the guest, which to your point, I've done quite a bit, but of, you know, the various key interaction points with our guests. So I've done a call center seat ride, and I've done a front desk seat ride and revenue management seat ride, and all those different functions that are part of our hotel operations, because to your point, it's very important for us as a technology department to really experience and walk a mile in the role of our functional counterparts, to really understand what are their key challenges, what are their day-to-day issues, and for the tools that we've armed them with, how they're being used, and if they're being used in unexpected ways, unintended ways, which sometimes can be really interesting surprises, or if they're being underused as well, equally important information for us. So I think there's no substitute for walking a mile in our functional counterpart shoes and really visualizing how things work day to day.
As I mentioned, you were new to industry and new to company when you took on your current role. Can you talk a bit about how you prepared yourself in the weeks leading up to the point at which you started?
Obviously, I've had a lot of time to spend as a guest in a hotel in my travels, both for work and personal travel. But, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at industry kinds of things, industry publications, guest feedback, just what were people talking about in and around the industry that would be relevant and kind of informative? What was the buzz, if you will, that was active? And so that became an important channel. It was interesting. I got a lot of feedback directly from people, you know, just people in business colleagues, personal connections who all had a point of view about the industry. And again, those can be very informative. And through just connections in my network, I got to talk to a few folks who had, you know, friend of a friend kind of thing, that had interesting roles as either already in the industry or in a related industry that, again, provided some good insights. And that was all good baseline, mind-setting kinds of conversations.
And then once you join the organization, if you think across your first 100 days, say the first quarter that you were with the organization, how did you divide up your time? Were there discrete activities that you were doing, say, month one, month two, month three? Were there different ways in which you gathered insights, prepared a plan, and began to execute?
I would say, Peter, that those first 100 days I would carve up, or I did carve up in the following way. I spent about 50% of my time meeting people, and that both meant meeting people in the technology function as well as outside of the technology function, part of the Starwood family, both at corporate and on property, to just get to know, you know, what were the functions, what did people do, what were their perspectives, what were their point of views on things that were both business topics as well as technology topics. So it wasn't limited to technology, but both sides. So that consumed a lot of time and was time, I think, very well spent because it was very informative. Another chunk of time, 25%, I would divide up as saying getting grounded on history. And that was both reading through board materials, prior budget presentations, presentations that had been done to executives across the business to influence strategy or strategy setting documents. Again, both on the business side as well as on the technology side. And I call it understanding history because I think it's like any other event in life, you know, organizational transition. It's important to understand history to, A, not repeat the same mistakes, but also to respect it. It's a very important element to me to respect the time and the energy and the effort that the team has already invested. And understanding decisions at points in time, it really puts the decisions in context. And so understanding history, I would call out as the second big chunk. And then the third big chunk and the balance that's left is really thinking about the future and where did we want to go? How did we want to shape our thoughts around the next couple of years, and understanding the context of what people had told me and history to really shape that future.
And as you were going through that, did you have kind of a notion of establishing some quick wins, or were there some insights you were gathering from the various constituents with whom you met that you just mentioned that offered opportunities to put some quick focus on some things to develop some momentum for your new administration, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I might switch that a little bit and say my joining was less about redirecting or fixing to the notion of quick wins for me or the organization, and more about setting us up collectively as a business organization for what the future needed to be, given a lot of successes under our belt. So I'm going to be honest, my quick win was not getting in the way and making sure that I didn't disrupt what was already a very aggressive and very business-aligned agenda. And so, you know, to the extent I could help facilitate that agenda, fabulous, but certainly to the extent that a new leader could be a disruption, I didn't want to be that disruption. And so I spent a lot of time making sure that people felt comfortable with that and that they knew I wasn't here to reset the agenda, because that had already been agreed and had a lot of alignment.
And can you talk a bit about, at once your plans began to gel, and you've hastened to note that it was not a question of creating a fundamentally new plan. In some ways, the role was continuity and respect for the past while developing perhaps some new insights from the the various conversations that you were having about the creative use of technology in the business context. Can you talk a little bit about some of the substance of your early plan and now still inside a year of joining the organization, where you see things going from this point forward?
So I would say, you know, we've coalesced around a few themes as a technology organization as well as a business organization. And the first one is the notion that given that we are publicly stated asset light is our strategy, we offer our respective members of our, let's call it partnership, our business partnership in the Starwood ecosystem, a set of services and capabilities. Services in the form of brand, in the form of distribution, in the form of technology capability, you know, and a business operating model. And so as a services company, one of the ways I'm thinking about our future is how do we harness the value of data as a strategic asset for our business that can really help our hotel owners and operators act and make more strategic decisions and act and behave in a more strategic way than ever before. So data is going to be a huge cornerstone of how we formulate our plans for the next several years. Again, making sure we put it on a bit of a pedestal, treat it as a strategic asset, which it is, and even invest more than we already have. And we can talk about some of the investments we've already made because there's been some great ones in that space around revenue management, et cetera, and sales. But that's clearly strategic focus for me. The second one I would say is making sure that we continue to get our unfair share of talent. As you know, and I'm sure as you talk to all the other technology leaders in any industry, I think we all are grappling with this notion of making sure we're known for the great work that we are doing for our respective businesses and that we are thought of as a phenomenal employer of choice for technical talent. And so that sort of theme, which has existed, I want to continue to amplify and make sure that we're as well known as we need to be so that we get the right skill sets, the right talent base, and we continue to arm ourselves with the talent that we need for the future. The third thing we're thinking about is how to shape our offerings for the kind of, it might be a brand, it might be a hotel property specific need, it might be a geographic need. How do we make them even more flexible to adapt to the changing needs in the business models? And so we're actively thinking through how to do that, and we hope to have some more beyond the concepts, but more concrete things that we can discuss later in this year on that topic. But we're pretty excited about that sort of flexibility and giving our owners and operators even more capabilities that suit their specific property needs.
You've mentioned through this conversation the various areas in which IT has a role to play in innovation. You talked about the ascending trend towards mobile, for instance. You've talked about the keyless entry. You also talked about some of the strategic aspects of revenue management and sales. I don't know if the activities associated with that would be considered innovation activities per se, but I'd love to kind of understand from you how you think of IT's role from an innovation perspective and how you organize at least a portion of your resources or a portion of the funds allocated to innovation activities. How do you organize that?
We do think of it as a central pillar of the role that we have to play in the organization. And interestingly enough, you know, as we're doing all of our kickoff meetings around the world, part of the discussion I've been having with the teams that I'm in front of is it's a role for all of us. It's not the role for just one team or one person or one set of people, but really it's the role for all of us to be really well connected with the external environment that we live and operate in, which is a very technology-based, digitally connected, data-driven, fast-paced, changing environment, and for all of us as business leaders to be aware of those external trends and play a role in surfacing the areas that would most benefit from the application of let's call it technical innovation, because there's many forms, obviously, but for technology to play a key role in changing that experience. And so we've been talking about this transformation of analog process to digital process and how to bring that to life in all aspects of the business. And again, energizing the minds and hearts of all of our associates to raise up those ideas, because we need to continue the funnel of great idea generation. Now, when I think about it for technology, we have such great partnerships in the business across the distribution, loyalty, and digital teams, our sales and revenue management teams, where we sit in physically the same space with those business teams. We live their business processes. We live their business challenges on a day-to-day. We've talked a bit about some of our recent office locations where we're, again, co-located, multiple cross-functional teams. We think that stimulates that kind of innovative thinking, the kind of cross-functional mindset that brings to life better ideas. And so we're very passionate about continuing to do that. The other thing we've done a nice job of in the past and continue to do is to do smaller, more agile prototypes, and actually prototyping things, whether it's in our technology lab here at our corporate location or also in the field, so that we can actively experiment, make a series of small bets, many of them out in our properties, and see them come to life, see them operate, adapt to what we see in the field conditions, modify appropriately, and then pivot on to the next idea or the next generation of that idea to really make it impactful. So that notion of smaller, bite-sized deliverables that have a very visible, visual, actionable prototype kind of feeling to them and being able to pilot quickly is something I think we've done a nice job of and want to continue to do to foster the spirit of innovation.
One of the recent very interesting announcements that's been made is a partnership with Uber, which is a continuation of a variety of partnerships to include organizations like Delta, Emirates Airline, Caesars Entertainment, and others, such that as your customers or their customers use those services, there's the possibility of accruing Starwood hotel points. Now, I know that this is not a IT initiative alone, but I'm wondering how, if at all, you and your team get involved in these sorts of relationships, and I guess the broader question of the development of an ecosystem to help add value to the organization.
Absolutely, and like I said, we have such a great partnership with our loyalty teams and distribution teams that really work on all this kind of partnership creation, because as you point out, that ability for us to take care of our guests really in a wide, holistic way, both in and out of stay, as we talked about earlier, is a big part of our strategy, where we think the program adds value, our loyalty program adds value, and the right strategic partnerships for us add value to our guests. And we've heard that loud and clear.
Prior to joining Starwood, you spent roughly 19 years at GE, often in financial parts of that business as an IT executive. And obviously, GE is a legendary talent factory. You talked earlier about the need to think about growing and maintaining great IT talent. No doubt, I'm sure you've got some strong perspectives about that based on your experience at GE. GE also has such a strong and often written about culture. And I'm curious, I thought it was very interesting and appropriate that you mentioned that part of your activities in the first 100 days as you were listening, I'm paraphrasing here, but in essence, you were getting to know the culture, getting to know what had worked in the past, paying respect, due respect, actually, to the work that had come before you're joining the organization. And so I'm wondering, you know, having spent such a long tenure in such a strong culture and such a strong performance-oriented culture and one that values talent so much, how much of that did you bring and apply with you versus those things, of course, that you were translating appropriately into the new culture you found yourself in?
It's interesting, and that 19, almost 19-year tenure was a big part of my training ground, really. If, you know, it wasn't my only place of employment. I worked at a telecom company for 7 years before joining GE, but you're right, it was a huge training ground for me. And I think the one of the biggest takeaways and things that I've applied is that focus on talent. As leaders, the best thing we can do, probably from a legacy perspective, is build the best possible team and put that best possible team on the field every day in a way that's motivated, that's properly equipped. So to use a sports analogy, you know, you got to have that right team on the field to get that winning outcome, and a strong culture that supports the things that the company wants to support has to be part of that, because that is a huge motivational factor. So I think you're right in saying I've brought a lot of that training in my own DNA as I've grown up, and am anxious to apply it here. And honestly, there's that same set of principles exists here at Starwood. We have a win with talent culture that's very focused on making sure we develop people. We hire the right talent, we develop that talent, grow them, get them the right training and job experience as part of that development, and then treat them with all the ability to achieve whatever career aspiration they set in their own minds. And I think this business, this industry, has such a legacy of creating opportunity, employment opportunity, at so many different levels. You know, now I'm talking well beyond technology, but at so many different levels in so many different parts of the world, with an organization that's so far reaching and so many geographies, that it's exciting to know that I'm joining an organization that really has that sort of respect for people.
Last question for you. We've talked about so many important trends that intersect in both various business disciplines and technology disciplines. I wonder if there are any others that are of particular interest to you as you look forward in the next year, two or three. What are some additional trends that particularly excite you?
We've talked a little bit about, or a lot about, data as an asset. That continues to interest me. I'm not one for the big hype terms like big data, but I just think data as an asset and tying that to whatever business strategy in whatever industry one finds oneself is hugely important. So that continues to be of interest, and I think will be for a long time as we all have more and more not only access to information, but more information becomes available because these analog processes are becoming digital processes. So I think that will be one of interest for a long time. The second one I would call out in a different vein is the notion of computing miniaturization and the fact that now computing devices, we touched on mobile as an example of that, but really getting into the miniature models of wearables. We will have, you know, be part of an ongoing, very exciting announcement with the Apple Watch here, not too far in the future, that I think is very exciting for consumers as well as for us as a company. But wearables, I think, is a very interesting area for us as a company, and then also related to the miniaturization is really this notion of Internet of Things and how can we incorporate those concepts at the property level to optimize what is a very distributed operation at a property level. So I think those continue to be trends that I think will be very interesting to our industry.
Martha Poulter, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and providing some details of the activities you've undertaken at Starwood and beyond that have made you the successful executive that you've been. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for the time.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.